We're supposed to be a grateful people. We're supposed to be a thankful people, right? Come on, He's good all the time. I'm not going to preach on Thanksgiving. I could do that every day, but it's okay. I felt impressed to speak to you about increase this morning. Increase. Do you know it's God's will for you to increase? And not just in one area of your life, in all areas of your life. And if it's God's will for us to increase, then why aren't we? You know, it's kind of, okay, Lord, if that's the case. Sometimes it's a matter of just not having the vision to increase. You settle for where you are. You know, this is where I am. I'm this age. I make this much money. I you know, this is how I am with people. And I'm just going to settle for that. But God wants you to get out of the settling. I said, God doesn't want you to settle for less than what He has for you. Amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read what God meant for you and for me. Amen. Are you with me? His view of us has not changed. You know how I know that? Because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Watch this now. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and of every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And then God blessed them, and He said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." It's really interesting. God said, "Listen, I'm going to create all this for you, but you have a part to play." Right. I mean, God is God. He could have just said, "Well, just enjoy. If He needs more, I'll just give you more." But our part in is that we have to take dominion. We have to multiply it. Come on. Everything that God has given to us is supposed to be multiplied. Let me say that again. Everything that God has given to us is supposed to be multiplied. Did you know that your wisdom is supposed to be multiplied? That your knowledge is supposed to be multiplied? How you are in relationships is supposed to multiply. In other words, God wants us to increase in all of these things. All of them. God wants us to increase, but oftentimes we limit God by our actions. Come on, we limit God because we don't see ourselves as He sees us. We don't figure it's His will for us to increase at all. And what is the reason for increase? The reason for increase is so that you can be a blessing. So that you can bless somebody else and bless somebody else. And in doing that, what happens? It multiplies. It goes from one to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. It's multiplication. But if you say, "Well, you know, God uses the pastor, or God uses this person, or God uses that person," that it's just me. I'll pray. Maybe I'll pay, you know, put a little something in the offering every once in a while. But I'm just one of those lay people. And most people, when they hear that, they mean they're laid off, right? I don't have a job to do. I don't have something in the kingdom to do. But the reality is that God's got something for all of us to do. And He wants us to increase in it. I said He wants us to increase in it. He wants us to grow in it. He wants us to multiply in it. And again, our age doesn't matter, right? Our sex doesn't matter. Nothing, matters except us knowing that God wants to multiply through us. Oh, God wants to multiply through you. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a chance. Go to Leviticus chapter 26. I want you to see something here. It's so awesome. In Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 3, he says, "If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield its fruit." He's talking about increase. But the stipulation for increase is, if you walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, and perform them. You know, this is about hearing what God wants us to do and doing it. Not just hearing about it, but doing it. He's speaking to the Jewish nation here under the old covenant. We're under a new covenant. But we still have commandments. Hello? What are the commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus even clarified that more. He said, you need to love one another even as I have loved you. If we want to increase, those have to be our top priority. Let me say that again. If we want to increase, those have to be our top priority. God will not increase you to the capacity that He wants to if you're not putting Him first place. Do you know that over the history of Israel, and even in the Bible, it talks about how He blessed them and then they went into captivity, and He blessed them, and then they got bad kings, and something terrible happened. Over and over and over, it was a repeat thing. But you know, the number one thing that caused them to stumble is idolatry. It's idolatry. They went after Molech, the Asheroth pole, people that were around them. They said, well, that God looks pretty good. Let's go worship Him. I like that statue. Let's go worship that. And God hated that. And we think, well, we don't have any statues. We don't worship anything like that. But here's what I'm telling you. Anything that we put before God, we're worshiping. Anything that we put before God, we're worshiping. How do I know if I'm doing that? It's pretty simple. All you have to look is at your time, as your schedule. Do you have any time for God in it? Oh yeah, no, wait a minute. I say, good morning, Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice in it. And when I go to bed, I say, Lord, thank you for today. I mean, a lot of people aren't even doing that, right? But if you're doing that, that's good. But how about having Him on your mind at 9 o'clock in the morning, at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 11 o'clock in the morning? When you're making decisions, pulling Him into those decisions. When you're reacting to people, maybe pulling Him into those reactions. Right? If we want to increase, then we have to have God first place in our lives. And really, I'm just going to be frank with you. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, dwells on the inside of you. It's really stupid not to include Him in everything. I'm talking about increase in every area of your life. I'm not talking just about money, but money has a part in it. But I'm talking about becoming a better person. I'm talking about being more influential with other people. I'm talking about increase in your ability to touch other people. Move in the gifts of the Spirit. Operate, you know, in everything that God has for you. Become a better parent. Become a better husband. Become a better wife. Become a better father. Become a better brother. Become a better sister. Become better. Because God's will for you is to increase in all of those areas. But the first thing that you have to do is you have to determine to love God with all of your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. That word all is just three letters, but there's nothing outside of it. If you want to increase, again, according to this, it said, if you want to increase, then you have to keep his man. It's not enough just to know the commandments. You know, you say, yeah, I can quote that verse. I can quote those. Yeah, but are you doing them? Is doing them a priority in your life, or is it, well, Lord, you know, I'm just a sinner, and I'm not perfect, and I can't. You're giving yourself an excuse not to walk in increase. Are you listening to me? God wants us to walk in increase, but the first thing that we have to do is we have to love God and we have to love people. Go down to verse 18 of the same chapter. So it says if we do His commandments, then this is what's going to happen to us. But I think the list is bigger down here for if we don't. Verse 18 says, and after all of this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be in vain, and your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. You see, not obeying God, walking in ways that are not in line with His Word, blocks your increase. And watch this. I think that oftentimes we go, well, God didn't give me increase, so it must not His will for me to increase. Instead of saying, what is it in my life that could have blocked that increase? Are you listening to me, what I'm saying? Lord, you know, I heard this, and I'm going to do a series in a little bit when I get it flushed out and studied out on the heart. But this man said that, you know, if you have something happen to you once, like you're in a relationship and it goes sour, and if you have it happen to you once, well, you know, things happen. If you have it happen to you twice, well, you know, maybe, you know, you know just unlucky. But if it's happening 5, 6, 7, 8 times over and over again, you might just be the problem. Right? But if you want to increase, then you have to go to God and say, God, what is it in me that's blocking this increase? What is it in me? Come on. Because if you can begin to see yourself as God sees you, with His will in your life to multiply and increase, then you will spend all of your days seeking Him and doing what you know to do to increase. And if you're not increasing, if you're not multiplying, if the relationships don't seem to be getting any better, then maybe, just maybe, those two commandments need to be revisited in your heart. Glory to God. I want you to increase. I want us to increase. I want the church to increase. But not just so that we can say, oh, look at what I've got. More, look what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. I want to give Him the glory. I want to give Him the credit. I want to influence more people for the kingdom of God than we've ever influenced in our whole entire existence. But if I put limitations on myself or on the church or on you because of our age, because of our demographics, because of whatever reason that we could give, I've just violated the law of multiplication. He wants me to increase. Did you know that He wants your marriage to be better? Well, we've been married for 40 years. I mean, bless God, it is what it is. No. I speak no to that. Lord, show me how to love her better. Lord, show me how to honor him better. Lord, is there anything in my words? Is there anything in my actions? You see, that will violate the fact of increase in your marriage. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 68. 68th Psalm. Glory to God. I believe God wants you to increase so that he can use you to affect the kingdom in bigger ways. Have you ever been in a place where, you know, there's a missionary comes through town, or there's an event that needs funds, and you just go, oh, you know, I've given what I can, Lord, but I wish I could give more. Anybody ever been? I have, right? Well, the only thing that's keeping me from giving more is my ability to believe God for increase. But again, it's not increase so that I can just heap up treasures on this earth, but it's so that God has a place in my heart to be able to meet the needs of other people. Psalm 68, verse 5 says this, a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy mountain. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. What's that saying? It's saying that God, even if you're fatherless, even if things have been taken away from you, even if your past is not exactly what it should have been, if you'll follow after God, he's the one that will bring you to prosperity. Oh God, when you went out before your people, you marched them through the wilderness. See, God brings us through our wilderness with supply if we'll keep him at the first place. Come on. Is God with you? Is God for you? What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Are you seeing yourself as defeated and completely without hope? Then I can tell you, you're not looking at God, you're looking at you. Because with man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Go to 71. 71. You know, you think, well, Pastor, you're up here preaching at us, and this is hard on us. Well, when I'm preparing, it's hard on me, so you just have to deal with it. Right? Psalm 71, verse 19. It says, also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You have done great things, O Lord. Who is like you? You have shown me great and severe troubles. Shall revive me again and bring me up against the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You shall increase my greatness. Even if we've gone through things that we caused or somebody else's bonehead move caused in us, God said he will be with us. And if he's with us, he'll revive us. What does that mean? Have you ever seen, watched the movies, or maybe you've been close to where they have the defibrillator paddles? The person's heart isn't going, and they got those things. Maybe some of you have experienced this. I hope not. But you've experienced it, and they say, clear! And that body just jumps up. What are they trying to do? They're trying to revive it. I don't care where you're at today, God has some paddles for your revival. Jesus is calling, Marty. Isn't that exciting? I love it. But watch this. even in the midst of that, even if you're feeling like, oh God, I'm too something, I'm too old, I'm too tired, I'm too sick, I'm too broke. Get your eyes back on Him. And know that if He's with you, His will for you is to multiply and increase and grow in every area of your life. The Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Y'all getting anything this morning? 85. Psalm 85. Verse 10 says this. Mercy and truth have met together. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before Him, and shall make His footsteps our pathways. Let me read that again, because it's so important. Mercy and truth have met together. God's mercy is always revealing His truth. Let me say that one more time. God's mercy is always revealing the truth. But how are we dealing with the truth? Sometimes when the truth comes to you, it's like, it's hard. When God speaks to your spirit that you're the problem. Come on, God, it's not me. It's that other person. It's the wife that you gave me. Lord, if I only had a better pastor. Lord, if I only had this. If I only had this. The truth is, if mercy is going to come to you, it must be mixed with the truth. And your heart has to be receptive to the truth. And when the truth comes and it's towards you, you know what you get to do? Repent. What does that mean? You get to change your mind to line up with His laws of increase. Hallelujah. God wants you to increase. The best way that you can increase is to go before God on a daily and say, here I am, Lord. And even David cried out. He said, Lord, show me my heart. Why did he say that? Because we don't know our own heart. Because our heart is made up even of our perceptions, which can be based on a reality that's not true. If your reality is because I'm old or because I'm young, because I'm a woman, because I'm African American, because I'm white, because I'm this or because I'm that, then I am limited in what I can do. Then you're not listening to the voice of God. So what do we need to do? Lord, I don't care who's against me. You're for me. And if you're for me, then increase will happen. Come on. They may not like it, but tough. They may not want my increase or me to multiply, but tough. I'm going to do it for the sake of the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 1. I don't know if you do it. Renita and I, we don't hit every day, but we like to read together the proverb of the day. Whatever, if it's the first, we read Proverbs 1, 2, you know, so on and so forth. We like to do that every day. But just reading through it will have no effect on you unless you do it. Unless you measure your heart against what it's saying and they go, oh, I see that. If you read the Proverbs that way and say, God, I'm just going to read these as instructions, but also as a map of how I should live my life. Verse 5 of chapter 1 says this, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Listen to that again. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. There are so many people that have shut their ears off that they can't even hear anymore. I know it all. You can't teach me anything. A wise man who wants to increase and operate in the laws of increase will absolutely listen to what's being said, even if they don't like it. And we will allow God to use anybody that He wants to. Let me just give you an example. You can have a snarky boss that you don't like at all, but yet they know more about your trade than you do. And you can get an attitude like, I'm not listening to that jerk. Or you can say, listen, God wants me to get wisdom. And so whatever He knows, whether I like His attitude or not, I'm going to get everything out of Him that I can, because I want to grow in wisdom. Because I want to increase. Are you listening to me? So, you know, I believe some great insight came to me in raising children. And the reason is I'd have to apologize to them. You say, you apologize to your kids? I should never have to apologize to my kids. Bless God, I'm the man of the house. Do you want to increase or not? So when you, watch this, when you punish your children, not because what they did wrong was totally wrong, but because it inconvenienced you. Quit yelling in the house, I'm trying to watch this football game. And your anger is coming out like that, and then God says, hold it. Is your motivation to love them, or is it to make your life better? Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you want wisdom, you go back to the two commandments. So God can use anybody to bring wisdom to us, but are we going to hear it and then heed it? Chapter 3. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Honor the Lord, what does that mean? Well, to me it means that I own nothing. To me it means that everything that I have belongs to Him. And under the Old Testament, the first fruits were supposed to be the fruits that were given to the Lord in an offering. He said to bring me a bull or a goat or a sheep without spot or wrinkle. In other words, don't bring me your old nasty leftovers. Don't look at your flock and go, you know, he needs one. That one's kind of lame, and I'll take that one to him. The Lord says, no, why? The Lord doesn't need your sheep. The Lord doesn't need your money. The Lord doesn't need your house. The Lord doesn't need your car. The Lord doesn't need anything from you. But He does need your heart. And in order to increase, He has to know that everything that you have belongs to Him. I haven't had it often happen to me. I know this one pastor that I listen to. Twice in his life, God told him to sell everything that he had and give it away. Now, just think about that for a minute. We all have cars. You know, you might be in a house that you own or the bank owns, but you have equity in that house. You might have other things. You might have antiques that your great-great-grandmother gave to you. And God says to your heart, I want you to sell everything. And that's what the pastor did. So they went from this house that was really kind of nice, but they sold it all and they put it into the ministry and then leased an apartment. That takes some gumption. But you see, that is an indicator that they were totally committed to the heart of God. I'm not asking anybody to do that this morning. But I am asking you to run all of your possessions through your heart and see if they belong to you or to God. And why? Because God wants to increase you. But He can't increase you if you have idols over Him. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. 13, verse 11. 13, verse 11. It says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Why did I bring this out? Because your increase is going to take effort on your part. Right. Let me say that again. Your increase is going to take effort on your part. God said, be fruitful and multiply. What does that mean? That means take that fruit, put it in the ground, and let it grow more. Put that fruit in the ground and let it grow and let it become more. But if you don't do anything with the seed that God has given you, then nothing's going to happen with that seed. And watch this. Your heart is the very center of where God wants to increase you. Because if He can increase your heart, then everything else can flow out of that. Out of the heart flows all the issues of life. So it's like, Lord, put your word in my heart, and I'm going to cultivate my heart. Here's the thing about seed time and harvest. If you don't put seed in the ground, then you can't expect to harvest. And Proverbs talks about, listen, if you're lazy when it's time to plant, don't expect anything at harvest. Well, come on, couldn't God just drop it out of the... He can, but He won't. If you want to have a nice house, you've got to keep the house up. Hello? If you want to have something nice, if you want your car to last for a very long time, you better change the oil. Bless God, I bought this car supposed to get 300,000 miles at a minimum. And the engine is knocking at 100,000. When's the last time you changed the oil? Oh, do I need to do that? Are you getting the point? God wants to increase us, but it does take effort on our part to do what He's called us to do. There's labor involved. I don't know about you, but I don't always like labor. Surprise. I don't always like digging in dirt that's just full of rocks and you have to use a pickaxe and shovel to... I don't like that, but if I want the ditch dug, I have to give the labor to get it done. But here's the deal. When the ditch is dug, I get the increase or the fruit of my labor. But if I would have sat in my house and went, man, I wish that ditch would get dug. I really need to put that water through there. I need it, maybe if I just mention it to enough people, maybe they'll come over and dig the ditch for me. I found that doesn't really work. So you have to get out and dig the ditch. Are you getting it? It's like if you want increase, then you have to get out and do something. Most of us operate on a financial level that our heart is fastened to. If you believe that all you have is all you're going to ever get, then God wants to increase your heart and capacity so that it can increase. I'll give you this story. I'm running behind, but it's okay. I'm just going to have you here a few more minutes. But watch this. This pastor, he said, you know, he went to his dad who was a pastor and talking about increase. And he said, listen, Dad, I've sown. I give my tithes. I give my offerings. And I've sown and I've done all of this and I've done all of that. And the dad said, well, what have you invested in? What? Yeah, you've sown and you've sown seed, but what have you invested in? In other words, what has God showed you to do in order to prosper? It could be a 401k. It could be a business. It could be something, but your increase is determined by your obedience to what God puts in your heart to do. And that's on the financial level. The same thing is in a marriage level, in a relationship. Lord, I want to have more friends. How do I do that? And he begins to give you things. And it might be something like this. I want you to call George. I don't like George. I don't like talking on the phone. God is giving you an area to increase your friendships in. But unless you start calling, instead, if you don't start showing yourself friendly, you're going to have as many friends today as you did yesterday. And the same type, by the way. Anyway, just a thought. Just thoughts. Okay, I got to get a couple more scriptures. Go to Zechariah. And this is really incredible. If you get to the New Testament, then you've gone too far. Go back a couple of books. In Zechariah, and chapter 8, verse 12 says this. For the seed shall be prosperous, and the vine shall give its fruit, and the ground shall give its increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all of these. He was talking at a time when Israel was rebellious, when Judah was rebellious and they were in captivity. He said, but there's a remnant. So there's a remnant. Who are the remnant? The remnant are the ones that are still after my heart. The remnant are still after the ones that are after loving people the way that Jesus loved them. That's the remnant. He said that remnant will have what they need. And watch this. We live in a time, and again, I'll try to make this brief, but we live in a time where we witnessed the Jews coming back to the land of Israel in 1948. Did you know that, I forget the English commander that was over there, but he stated that this is the most God-forsaken place I've ever been in my life. It's nothing but sand. It's dry, it's dusty, it's an awful place. But when God brought back His covenant people, the desert bloomed. They brought water into places, and all of a sudden they're growing fruit, and they're growing vegetables, and they're growing all kinds of things that far exceed anything anywhere else in the world. Why? Because God is pointing out that when He brings the remnant back, which He promised, the increase will be there too. So what am I saying to you? I don't care what your condition is now. God wants you to increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to skip that one. And let's go right to, and I'll close with this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This particular passage of Scripture, often used when talking about finances and giving, and it has application there, but I want you to hear my heart on this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one of us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance in every good work. For it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed to you that you've sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." Interesting. God wants us to know that he gives seed to the sower. What does that mean? That means if you're ready to plant so that you can get an increase, God will show you how to get the seed. And what does that mean? I'm not talking about just money. This is used for offerings all the time. But I'm talking, if you want a more productive marriage, God will give you seed to sow. Where do you sow that seed? Into your heart. If you want better relationships, God will give you seed, but you have to sow that into your heart. And then out of your heart, you have to make it your priority so that it's your default now. If God says to forgive, I forgive. If God says to bless those who curse you, my first default because of my past was revenge. But now it's no, Lord. Bless them. Because I don't need them to affirm me. I have your affirmation. He gives seed to the sower. He doesn't give the seed to the one who won't sow. Are you listening to me? It's God's will for us all to increase. It's God's will for us to multiply. It's God's will for all of us to be fruitful, no matter what your station in life is, no matter, you know, what others have said about you. Know this, if you learn nothing else today, it's God's will for me to increase, to multiply, and to go forth and do things for his kingdom. But I have to seek it, I have to want it, and I have to be open to correction, and I have to allow him to use me to do what he's called me to do. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word today. And Lord, as you've spoken to my heart and as you've shared your heart with my heart, I ask you, God, to just submit this in all of us. Lord, those that are watching online, if you've never given Jesus your heart, then you have nothing to sow into. But his kingdom wants to come to you, and all you have to do is lift your voice and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, and the Bible says you'll be saved. But you have to do it with all your heart. If you're here this morning and maybe you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, maybe you haven't. If you haven't, today's your day. What does that mean? That means at some point in your life, you have to yield yourself to God. You have to recognize that I can't be righteous on my own. I can't be good enough on my own. But I need a Savior. I need to be right with God. The only way that you can be right with God is take on the sacrifice or the gift that Jesus brought to you. He took your sin. But you have to put Him on. You have to say, I need a Savior in Jesus. You can have my life. Whatever is good coming out of my life, whatever's bad, whatever. I give you my life this morning completely, 100%, no turning back. You're my Lord from this moment on. And I'm going to live my life like it. Come on, this morning, if that's you watching online in the room, with your whole heart between you and God, I'm not even going to point you out this morning. I just, between you and God, just say, God, I'm here this morning. I'm sensing your presence. I'm sensing that urging in my life. Maybe you've known the Lord, but you need to come back to the Lord this morning. And that's just in your heart. I'm going to offer a prayer and I'm going to ask you to repeat it to me. But it's the heart business that's going to make the difference. If you're sincere with God, if you're seeking God, if you're open to God showing you your heart, your life will be forever changed because you came here this morning. Father, first of all, I just thank you for hovering over every heart that's listening right now. And Lord, I thank you for touching them right now. So just repeat this after me. Say, Father God. Come on, everybody. Father God, in Jesus' name, I give you my life. You can have all of me. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And Lord, my life is now yours. I will live for you from this moment forward. In Jesus' name. If you said that watching online or in the room, your life just changed for eternity. Share it with somebody else. Share it with me this morning if you're here. Let me pray with you and seal that in you. If I could have the worship team just come up, we're going to close with the song. And if you need prayer for anything this morning, the anointing is really strong up here this morning. If you need healing in your body, maybe you need financial turnaround, maybe you need to be filled with the Spirit. And what I mean by that is being filled with the Spirit and having Him give you a prayer language so that you can pray in the Spirit. I can't speak of that for a long time, but I just know the blessing that praying in tongues has been for me. If you want that, need that, come up and I'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. But let's worship Him together. Be blessed. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you for all those online. In Jesus' name, amen.